Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast today is, this is easy.
I want y'all to know this nigga is looking directly at his phone.
But I'm not looking at
easy.
It, though.
It's easy.
It's easy because Cinco de Mayo.
Okay.
So today is the 3rd.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Cinco de Mayo is
on Saturday. Which means that you should probably not come outside on Saturday unless
you're Saturday going to be bananas.
Yeah.
My God.
And,
especially if this weather keeps up.
Niggas, I think people's kind of setting off for Cinco de Mayo tonight, honestly. And then I know tomorrow, my man from the job, I ain't going
to
say his name because,
you don't want
he
to
got
be
a whole case. He got a whole case of tequila.
Oh, not again. Somebody going to die.
So tomorrow going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Somebody going to die.
God bless him.
Yeah, there's been a lot going on up at the job, man. Just be a lot of stuff.
Well, Saturday's going to be 73, so people won't be completely out of control, but it'll be nice enough to be outside and be doing a little something, yes.
Yeah, okay. But I think people's going to start setting off tomorrow for sure.
Yeah.
So happy Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, man.
I'll tell everybody.
Happy birthday. Rabia's birthday is on Sunday. So, happy birthday to my sister, Rabia, who, if you guys are long-time listeners, you've heard her before, but she hasn't been on the show in a while.
She hasn't been back on one day.
Yeah, you do need to know about that. We need to have that.
And, happy belated birthday to Jordan.
Yeah, happy belated birthday to Jordan, yes.
She turned 15.
That shit's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nuts for me. I know it's nuts for you.
Yeah, yeah. So, she's like 15. Doing all the 15-year-old
all
shit.
All the 15-year-old shit. All of it. Everything. Wait, so we haven't talked about this in a second. Just real quick, who are her favorite musical groups now? When she was young, she was into the... What was them kids?
She was into the boy bands.
What happened to them kids? Yeah, them kids from Australia.
Oh, to...
36.
No, the kids... One Direction.
5 Seconds
of
Summer.
Oh,
she did like 5 Seconds of Summer. She went through...
When she was young, she went through the pop phase.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember.
That was the pop phase. Then she went through... She went through indie band phase.
Okay.
We would go into a lot of shows with Dirty Kids.
Okay.
A lot of Dirty Kids.
Everybody went Chuck Taylor's.
A lot.
Yeah, too much for
dirty,
you.
Yeah, way too, I am not leaving y'all in here, and y'all better not drink nothing from nobody.
Exactly.
Okay. And then she went through, really a musical fate, Alabama Shakes and
I remember that.
Yeah, very musical stuff.
I remember that too.
Now she's doing the theater, so she's into a lot of In the Heights. She was just in the play.
Okay.
For school. So she did a lot of that's really what I hear coming out of the room.
Okay.
Okay.
And it varies. She'll absolutely have Earth, Wind & Fire on too.
Really?
Oh yeah. You'll definitely hear anything with a high level of musicianship,
she's
music.
She's fucking with it.
She fucks with it. And she knows pop music. She'll know the Migos and all that shit, too.
Well, she's 15, so she's going to know all that.
Right.
So happy birthday, Jordan. I wanted to say, I had a couple pieces. Piece the Subway. Closing 900 stores this year.
I mean,
it's over, B.
Well, it's not really over.
900 stores is mean you about to much fucked up.
It's not. You know why it's not? I mean, they are fucked up. Listen, here's my quick take.
I also can't remember the last time I even saw a Subway ad.
First of all, if you're in New York City and you eat Subway, I'm judging you. You live anywhere between Philadelphia and Boston, and you're going to eat sandwiches at Subway,
you're playing yourself,
you're a fucking fool.
Literally could just go to the bodega.
There's so many mom and pop delis that are operating between Philly and Boston. The fact that the reality is they have 26,000 locations.
Yeah.
Which is an astronomical number. They are the highest. To give you perspective, McDonald's only has 14,000.
Oh, wow. But that's excessive.
It's an excessive amount. It's absolutely a ton of Subways that are out there. They are often empty. They really have terrible product.
And they used to be better. Like, Subway used to be better. I know I'm not bugging on that.
Well, I think the products, I feel like the 90s, the quality of the meats tastier. And shit was definitely better.
The bread was fresher, too.
Yeah, because it was better.
And
I was a Blippi's guy myself.
That's a part of, but that's a part of a business, right? Growth means, okay, you have to cut the fat, you need to increase your profits, and that comes with, you know, not having the best qualities of things. Yeah. And you know what? People are a lot more health conscious now, so they understand their sodium intake and what the sandwich is worth.
And calories and all that.
And so when you have these places in a place that, you know, say if you got a Subway, is going to do well if it's next to an office building that has a really high majority of people that are sort of hourly wage employees, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's who your lunch crowd is. Mm-hmm. You know, Clarence that work at the gate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Come in and get the same sandwich.
Come in and get the same sandwich every day. When you don't have that, when you have those Subways that are not in high traffic, high volume areas, they don't do well at all. And, you know, listen, the product is pretty fucking bad. Like,
well,
that's
also,
just the reality.
Now there's so many other options. Like, people don't necessarily just want sandwiches anymore. People want poke bowls and, and you know, the Chipotle and wraps and all
and
that other stuff.
Fresh shit.
A sandwich, just a sandwich, this, a sub
also,
sandwich
but
is
also,
very...
Come on, my nigga.
Also, too, you have, you also have prepackaged sandwiches that are in stores now.
Yeah.
You have so many prep manager... Cozy, all of these other places that
Panera.
Give you options that are better options.
Right.
And people are really, I think from what I see in New York City, people really still love mom and pop shops. There's a connection.
I think that's a New York
thing. And I'm fucking with, I'm going to Juan
because he know how to make my shit.
He know how to make my shit.
Your Juan, you know, you can be
ultra specific in the mom and pops too. You can be like, put this one banana pepper on that side.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
And you know what? Who the fuck wants an angry 17-year-old making their
slapping turkey meat on their shit?
Yeah. So I think it's and they're gonna expand. They're opening up stores. Internationally, and
they gotta change the model.
Well,
though,
they literally talked about they have to physically change the store.
Yeah.
The stores are not appealing.
Yeah,
and you come out of there smelling like a sub.
First of all, it's disgusting.
Yeah,
it's fucking disgusting because they put like some sort of garlic aroma in the air fresheners. I believe.
I used to work at a Subway. Well, at least at the Subway I used to work at. We didn't. It's because of the way the stores are structured, and I guess because of between the bread baking and the meats and all that other stuff. I will say this. I never was told to put some garlic in the air fresh. I've never been in a Subway where I didn't walk out smelling like an Italian sub.
There's a very distinct smell that you get.
And it used to be all in my clothes when I came home from work. Like, I used to smell like that after work. It'd be my hair.
You know, peace to them. It's just, listen, you know, those franchises, that's a part, you know, people get in.
Move on and grow on. I'm sure somebody got very rich. I got two pieces. Peace to neither one of you, y'all gonna give a shit about, but I'm saying any goddamn way. Peace to Ray Shrem.
Definitely.
About to drop their album tonight. Mm-hmm. Shrem Life 3. Triple album.
Is there a single?
Shrem Life 3.
They put out sub records,
Put out a triple album.
Triple album. It is, but it isn't. It's nine songs. So, Sway Lee got a solo album, nine songs. Slim Jimmy, the other brother, got a solo album, nine songs. And then there's a Ray Shrem solo album, nine songs. So, it's not all Ray Shrem. It's whatever. Y'all don't care. So, but I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Yeah, y'all niggas don't care. Second thing is, I've been watching, I'm only two episodes in, but I've been watching Lost in Space on Netflix.
It's a reboot?
Yeah, but you flipped, you know.
Okay.
It's not the same as the TV show.
Okay.
It is, but it isn't. Like, it's not like, there's no Don, you know what I'm saying? It's like, Judy's black.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because she's adopted. It's like, you know, but there's a Will Robinson, there is the mother and the father, there's a Penny, and then, but, I'm enjoying it. It's really good to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, they spit the gang of paper.
Did they still say Danger Will Robinson?
Yeah, he's only said it once. The robot is also he's like sexy. He's like built. Mm. He's like that kind of cylinder thing.
Right.
Like built like a dude and shit. Like, he's got like, you know, like, looks like got muscles and all that.
Right.
But I'm enjoying it. There's no stars in it. But they put a lot of money into the production. It's, you know what I'm saying? I'm only two episodes in, but the two episodes in, and Dr. Smith is a woman, so they've flipped it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm enjoying it.
Have you guys ever watched Bosch?
Mm-mm.
On Amazon?
What's that?
Amazon has a great series on Bosch. It has I think the guy's name is Titus Williams or something like that plays the main character. Jamie Hector is also in it.
I heard about Jamie Hector's show. I heard it's good.
It's a very good show.
I heard it was good.
It's written well. It gives you just enough in an episode to, you know, keep you, you know, wet your whistle, mm-hmm. keep you coming back. The seasons are short. It's only like a 10 episode season.
Okay.
But it's an hour long episode. It's a really good show. I would absolutely suggest checking it out. I mean, it's in season 4 now.
So you gotta go
but
back.
You can go back. You should go back because there are underlying stories
that you gotta come
back. Yeah, exactly.
I got you. Okay.
I got two shout outs.
That's cool. Go ahead.
The first shout out to Westworld, which you guys don't watch, right?
No.
So Westworld,
it started back up, what, last week?
The week before last.
Okay.
And it's so, I don't know, you guys don't watch those hard.
I've been seeing
it's
the
so
reviews
crazy.
That it's people are not seem to be enjoying the season so far.
I mean, we're only two episodes in. The hard thing about it is, and this was actually kind of an issue with the first season, and I didn't come in until halfway through, so I was able to binge watch it. There's a lot that's happening at the same time, because there's time slips. And so you can be watching the show and it's happening at three different points of time, but you're not 100% clear on what you're watching, because the whole thing about Westworld is that these people are AI. So you're looking at the same people looking the same way. So you can't be sure if it's 40 years ago, if it's 20 years ago.
Because they don't age.
Exactly, right? And they're very careful about how they do it. As a matter of fact, we didn't realize we were looking at different time periods in season one until like the back third of the season. It was like a reveal. We're looking at two different times. So this is now giving us kind of like some backstory to how season one came to be, to like how the park, the Westworld park, was started and how it evolved to what it is now. But again, there's the time jumps, and it can be hard to follow sometimes.
Okay.
But they do it on purpose to kind of, I guess, add some mystery and some intrigue. But it can be a difficult watch. Like, I had to watch Sunday's episode almost three times to catch everything, because the first time I was trying to do something at the same time, and then the second time I still kept getting distracted. Like, I had to just watch
focus
it.
In.
I had to just watch it and focus, because you catch any little comment, it could be a clue to something that's gonna happen later. But I like what it looks like is going to unfold.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish they would hurry up and get there. They can be very slow
with
exposition. So that's, I think, what some people don't like, is like the shit just takes too long.
Okay.
And it's like, whatever.
I don't think I'm gonna check in on that one. I think I'm gonna pass.
Jeffrey Wright is in it, which is Jeffrey Wright and Anthony Hopkins. I mean,
Jeffrey Wright, have
you?
Did y'all see Avengers?
Yes. Absolutely.
You saw it, bro?
No.
Wait, he's not that dude though. But also, you haven't seen anything Marvel except Black Panther, right?
No, I've seen. I go to.
Why you ain't see Avengers, nigga? What the fuck?
Because I wasn't pressed to go see it, nigga. I was
God
like,
God damn, nigga.
Clay, you gonna be mad if we talk about it?
Not at all. Like, I'm gonna see it. I don't give a fuck about spoilers. I'm sure it is.
Right.
I'm absolutely gonna see it.
What was he doing this weekend, nigga? He couldn't go see the goddamn Avengers.
I wasn't going to see that shit, nigga.
So, Avengers came out Thursday night, technically, right?
Right. You know, actually, I think Thursday day. Like, I don't even think it's a midnight.
Right.
I don't even think it's a midnight opening anymore.
Yeah.
It's like
It's not midnight. Yeah. You're right. They do them like 5:00, 6:00.
Yeah.
I went to see it on Saturday.
I went on Saturday. I was going to go on Sunday. No, I went on Friday.
Okay.
I wasn't going to go until Saturday or Sunday, but Thursday night, niggas was already dropping half spoilers
I wanted to get into that. So let's jump into that before we get to the movie. Yo, it was some niggas on Twitter, man. It was one nigga who I follow. Yo, it was Saturday night. Yo, the nigga was like RIP to and listed everybody who died at the end of the joint. I'm like, my nigga,
you're just being a dick to do
that.
You're doing that on purpose.
Yeah,
you
want the heat, because that's just flagrant. And he listed, like, you know,
that's crazy. Yeah,
everybody.
But I did do, when I came out of the movie, Because I was really like, y'all, Thursday night, like, I get it. Like, but we at least do have, there is a rule that you're supposed to at least let open
wait
and we can
Sunday,
rock.
Sunday, my at nigga. Least, right? Sunday so, evening.
So I was like, come on, y'all, Thursday? And then I saw the movie, and when I came out of the movie, I tweeted, and I said, listen, y'all, fair warning, because I believe in spoiler-free weekends. I was like, it's going to be hard for the damn not to break on this one, because anything you say is a spoiler. True. Damn near. It's like 80,000 spoilers in this movie.
True.
Almost any way you talk about the movie mm-hmm. is a spoiler. So I was like, so it's not even that people are revealing one or two plot lines or one or two deaths. Like, there's so many different ways to spoil this movie. Yeah. So I would highly suggest, like, what I did on Thursday night, I bought my ticket for Friday, and then I muted everything. I muted everybody's name. I muted every hashtag.
So
I muted
shit.
So I wouldn't see. So I wouldn't even, like, stumble across some shit.
And niggas was, like, on Twitter basically, like, yo, how much longer we gotta wait? Like, what's right. up? Like, when we gonna be able to talk about them? It's like, y'all chomping at the bit to, like, spoil the movie for people.
Well, it was hot. Well, you know what?
The movie was hot. I guess you want to talk about
you
it.
You want to talk about that's what it was.
But not on Saturday, my nigga.
But you
know what
it was? I don't even think that people were trying to chomp at the bit to spoil it for other people. But when you walk out of that movie, so about the movie, if you are an MCU fan, and if you have been...
I guess we're about to spoil it now.
If y'all ain't seen it, y'all might want to fast forward this bitch right quick. But if you are an MCU fan and sat in the theater for every post credit scene and been in the forums and talked about the connections and the plot lines, and you've done this for 10 years, and this part one, because there is a part two, absolutely delivered on 10 years of buildup.
Like,
did. Absolutely delivered. You really feel like you need to get out of that shit and talk about some shit. And I think what happened was so many of us held it for so long or went over into side, because I got like 3 different DM groups going about it, that by the time it was, I still haven't really seen like a lot of flat out.
Yeah.
I think people got it out in some other way, and now they're just kind of like, eh, whatever.
It was a couple clever like little Instagrams. There was one with these 3 black kids, and they like in the car, and it was like, you know, after you see, you know, Infinity War, and they in the car, and they just quiet.
Right.
And they just keep looking at each other. And then they pull over, and one kid's like, yo, we gotta talk about this shit. He's like, I don't wanna talk about it right now. You know what I'm saying? No, we gotta talk about this shit. But, yeah, the movie definitely delivered on 10 years of build up.
Right.
I don't know how, but I was telling Sydney, friend of the room, who like Gardner seen the shit, I think 3 times.
Which is crazy. I didn't have the energy to see it again.
Well, he went to a screening, and then he went to the other.
Because people were like, I'm going to see it a second time. And I was like, I need a minute. I can't go through it again. Because it was from door.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
Right from the beginning. Yeah. It was like, I was tired.
Because even the opening credit doesn't come to like several minutes into the movie.
I was like tired when I left it. I was like, I needed a minute. I needed to
gather.
I was really like, I can't go through that again.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
It was a lot.
But I was gonna say
you telling Sydney.
Oh, hey, what the fuck? Yeah,
it has something to say about just being part one, and you were saying something to Sydney, like maybe because it was just part one. Are you thinking that you were able to leave and anticipate part two? Because that was my thing. I didn't really leave mourning shit because I was like, clearly there's a part two.
Yeah, I was asking. This is what I was gonna say, but I definitely asked Sydney, like, I don't know how you're gonna get these people back.
Right.
Like, there's mad people gone. Like, how you gonna get them back?
There's some theories though.
Oh yeah. I mean, they're gonna do something. I forgot the hell what I was gonna say. Dang on it. But anyway, the movie was like I said, delivered on the 10 years. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. I was like, I don't know how you would do it, but I feel like Josh Brolin deserves a fucking nomination
for something, right?
For Thanos.
He was excellent.
He was
Thanos.
Amazing. I know it's CGI and all that, but like
still,
the emotion
and
the emoting that he did for Thanos, because Thanos was very, very what's it called him. He was Killmonger-y in a way where he wasn't like just the villain who you hated. He had you had some empathy for why his position was the way it was.
And you got them same Negroes coming out being like, being like, Thanos is right. Shut your ass up.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like that.
But it's like, but yeah, it was some layers to it, because actually in the comic book, Thanos' reasoning is completely different. This one, actually is layered with compassion. Like, this is a layer they added on to it. But I mean, it's still fuck Thanos, but I mean, and clearly, like, the Marvel people knew, because the amount of PSAs I saw that were about not spoiling the movie for people, and the whole Thanos Commands Your Silence campaign, and like, they knew that everybody
was
gonna walk out of there,
because the ending is crazy.
The ending is crazy.
Because I ducked all spoilers, so when the ending started to happen, I was like, wait, what's going on here?
Right. Like, well, I knew it wasn't going to be all good at the end because one of my friends came into a group text on Thursday night and was like, man, fuck Marvel. And I was like, you know what, fuck you for saying that because that already lets me know that somebody that I'm invested in is going to die. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah, but fuck you because people died early too.
Right, but I'm not invested in none of
the
niggas.
The fact that I was like, wait, Loki's dead? Like, right. He's actually dead. But, like, he's dead. It's right. Over?
Like, it's over.
It's
like,
done.
And I think that, I mean, obviously, you know, Captain Marvel's on her way.
Yeah.
I think,
Ant-Man,
you know,
and Wasp are going to be in the next one.
Are going to somehow be in the next one.
Apparently, Ant-Man, Wasp, and who's the other one wasn't in this one? Ant-Man, Wasp.
Oh, Hawkeye?
And Hawkeye apparently have a pivotal role in the next one. Some kind
of
role.
Yeah, and, I heard that there might be something. I heard that Ant-Man and Wasp might lead up to what's going on in Infinity War.
Okay.
But it'll have some. But whatever is going to happen with, obviously, Iron Man's going to be at the forefront. But it'll probably have something to do, a lot to do with, like, time-space manipulation, which brings Ant-Man and Wasp into it. Captain Marvel is, you know, supposedly the most powerful superhero in the Marvel universe. And I don't know a lot about her, but her origin movie is the only movie aside from Ant-Man and Wasp that comes before the next Avengers movie.
Okay.
And so, because they can't really do another.
Yeah.
They really can't do another one, right?
Right now,
so it's her movie, it's the Ant-Man and Wasp movie, and then at least it's only a year away, because they could be dicks and make us wait like 2 years for another Avengers movie. But yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
And you know what? Somebody said some shit. It was kind of real though. He was like, yo, you're on screen anyway. Your man T'Challa's always getting washed.
Yeah, because like, he's doing hand to hand.
He's getting washed and shit on screen.
And he's always doing hand to hand. Somebody was like, give him a broomstick or something. But
And also, Black Panther's coming out week after next, the DVD and all that.
I know, and there's a bunch of deleted scenes. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, they got one online now. You saw the one?
I've seen two. I've seen one where he's talking to Zeri, and there's another one that's between Okoye and Homeboy.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't see the one with Zeri, though.
I just saw that one today.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting. You know, we all getting that, obviously.
Yeah.
I watched it again on the plane, even though I went to Stanford earlier this week. I watched it on the plane, even though I've seen it up. 1,000 times.
Yeah,
no, like,
of course you watch it. Like, why wouldn't you?
Right. And actually, I came back from Infinity War and rewatched The Avengers and rewatched Doctor Strange.
I've never seen Doctor Strange. I've never seen Ant-Man.
Ant-Man
was really good,
it's
though.
It's good, but you don't need it.
But you need Doctor Strange?
Here was my theory.
Thor, the last Thor, either.
You need the last Thor. So you need to go back and watch the last Thor.
Okay.
Because literally that first scene picks up immediately after Thor
the end
ends.
Of Thor.
Yeah, it's like Thor ends, Infinity War begins.
Okay.
It's like the same thing.
Okay.
So I was telling people, for those of you who haven't seen it, even though we just spoiled the whole fucking movie, the only things I think you need to see going into Infinity War are the first Avengers, Captain America Civil War.
Definitely.
Thor Ragnarok, which is the last Thor. You really don't need to see the other two Thors at all, because really they're only there to really set up the whole Infinity Stone thing, but you can get that explanation. And I said that you need to have at least seen one Guardians of the Galaxy and see Doctor Strange, just so you get them, so that you understand them. Like, Guardians, I think you need to have seen just so you know what's going on with the Guardians.
And how they interact with
each other. But if you watch the last Thor, Strange is in the last Thor. So you can kind of get that, right? So I think the only ones you really need for context is the first Avengers, Civil War.
So let me ask a quick question before you move on.
Yeah.
What was the most emotional death for you?
Peter.
Yes, everybody said Peter.
That shit was crazy. That shit was crazy. That kid is so good.
He's excellent.
And there's a whole super cut of him and my man who plays Doctor Strange doing press together, where he's the guy who plays Doctor Strange, is having to actually prevent the kid who plays Peter from spoiling the movie, like, in real time.
Really?
I'll find it and send it to you. It's really funny. But his personality as Spider-Man apparently is his personality just like as a kid. So yeah, that one fucked me up. When I thought Iron Man was gone for a second, that was about to fuck me up. But yeah, I mean, the other ones,
Groot fucked me up too, though.
group of me, but T'Challa, I yelled out, what
fuck? T'Challa was like,
in the theater, I was like, what
niggas
the
fuck? Was mad at that.
But that's when I was like, okay, clearly they gotta bring niggas back.
Yeah, because...
But, I mean, there is a theory that Shuri is the next Black Panther, but I just can't imagine this one having been so successful and being like, all right, bye.
Peace, Chad.
Yeah, later, Chad. Well, I'll let you in a minute. So. Chad Boswick is definitely tired. This nigga been on promo for straight... 4 months.
You can see it in the internet.
You can see it. So, Chad, I hope you're on vacation somewhere, bro.
Yeah, chilling.
Like, so, chilling. You deserve that.
We liked it.
Yes, we liked
Joy
it.
Joy Reid had some issues last week.
Yeah.
They unearthed some old blog posts that she did where she was making tongue-in-cheek jokes about homosexuals.
Yes.
They immediately... The media immediately jumped on this.
Yep.
She fucked up because, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, IMOH, which not apparently there's like a thing about what does IMOH really mean.
Yeah, is it my honest opinion or my humble
whatever.
Opinion?
But anyway, she fucked up because she didn't just own it.
Right.
She said that she was hacked.
Well, here's why she said that in part.
This, maybe because she was. I
well,
mean,
this
happens.
Is well also because this is the second time this happened that somebody pulled some old blog post of hers. It happened a few months ago where they pulled some like maybe one or two, and the stuff that was in it was pretty minor. It wasn't too heavy, but it was kind of like
this
some
wasn't even heavy, really.
Right, but it was kind of like some homophobic remarks or transphobic. Something. It was something that was problematic. I don't remember the specifics, but in that case, she owned it. Right? And she was like, you know, my thoughts, because they were like from 09 or something like that. And she was like, you know, my views have evolved, my thoughts have evolved.
When were these from?
I don't know. I didn't pay that much.
But it was far back.
Yeah.
It was far
so
back.
So they were, and I mean, I will say this. Is Joy a target of the right? Absolutely.
Yep.
Would people love nothing more than to just fuck with her like that? Absolutely. Do I really think somebody is going back and hacking into an old blog server to do all of that shit? I don't know about all that. But what she did eventually say in her apology on air was, I don't remember writing these things. Maybe I wrote, like, she had to finally be like, maybe I wrote them. I don't remember writing them. If I did, I'm sorry. But what I really noticed is a division in the actual LGBTQ community in whether they're going to support her or whether they think it's not enough. Her apology is not enough.
Yeah, she had a lot of gays, well, all the gays. That she's the only gay person she knew on her show on Saturday. I didn't see it on Sunday. And, you know, they would, you know, she was like basically kind of like apologizing, I'm sorry. And people were kind of, you know, spitting their pieces.
But people do evolve.
That's basically kind of what she said. That's what they were saying. Like, yo, they got these blog posts from several years ago, and you obviously are not that person now.
Yeah.
Because you always have. You know, LGBTQ. What's the last? It's two more letters now.
Oh,
it's
I
and an A.
I have no idea.
But whatever. But she's like, you always have us on here and you're representing and talking and not just about gay issues. I mean, it's like, you know, just people in general. But go ahead, bro.
I think I agree with you guys in that I don't necessarily know that someone has gone back that far to try and hack into Joy Reid. I don't think she moves the needle in that capacity, right?
Right.
And yes, you can evolve. I also think that it's always convenient that your evolution sort of comes with television.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like once you
would
get
she,
on that
would
level?
She, yes. Would she have evolved?
If she was just
regular Joy Reid from 9 years ago, from 09,
right.
Doing blog posts still.
Yeah.
Right.
Would those views have evolved if having a platform of, let's face it, leftist, liberalism, inclusion, you know, being tolerant of people, is that what's happening, or has her views changed? That would be my question. And I don't care.
Right?
Like, I don't care enough about her personal views on shit to... And you know what? Let me take that back. I should care.
Right?
Because it's harmful to people, and it's harmful to people that I know. But
you don't.
I don't. I'm not vested.
Right.
You know, honestly, man, I never got into that show quite the way I was, even with... MHP.
Yeah.
It never quite curled over to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And really, like Luther's curl never quite curled all the way over.
Yeah.
So, but really, man, and I know it's recent, man, but the Killer Mike shit really got under my skin, man. Like
the fact that she let him on?
The fact that she let him on and then had this sort of, this playful banter, you know, when this was like serious shit.
Yeah.
Right. And it felt very television. And again, I'm not mad. I'm in that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm of that world. I understand. I'm not.
But you ain't really like.
But then you have to be mindful of when you're dealing with very serious pointed issues and what that means when you co-sign shit or give it a platform.
Right.
Be it your blog post. And listen, I think you can evolve. I think that you can have I think that there are certain levels of jokes that were made in 2009 or in 2010 that clearly we wouldn't make now.
Even on Twitter.
Yes, because it's a whole different world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also think that there is something, there's certain lines that I think that when you're a good person, that never really cross your mind.
Right.
They never really come into play. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't think, like, I don't know how much you can evolve when your views are so to one side.
Right.
I just don't know.
Or if you were passionate enough to actually do a whole blog post about something.
What I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if you took all of that time, like, this meant so much to you that you felt the need to embed this and code this in a way to put into your blog post, I don't know that just went away. I think that gay people are important to your show.
Right.
I think gay people are important to your career. I think gay people are important to, you know, the how your show is run. Very literally. Like, I'm sure there's a producer, a cameraman. Right.
I will say this in her, somewhat in her defense about the evolution shit. Okay, so when she wrote the blog post, I think she was still living in Florida. Mm-hmm. 'Cause she lived in Florida for, say, like 14 years. I think outside of Orlando. And, you know, Florida's Florida. You know,
conservative.
A conservative is country and Geechee. And, you know, she's from Denver. So she's, you know, Denver's a city, but it's not New York or L.A.
Right.
She was in Brooklyn. She grew up in Denver. She was in Brooklyn for years.
But she grew up in Denver.
Okay.
She grew up in Denver.
So she was like, 14 years old?
No, she grew up in Denver. She went to high school in Denver.
Okay, so she had.
Yeah, then she went to, then she did with the school. She went to school, then she went to Florida for her career. And she was, she talked about it. For a long time, she wasn't working. Her husband was working. And she was in Florida, so she was blogging. Mm. She didn't have a gig. Then all of a sudden, she kicked off, and then she moved to New York. My point is, moving from a small country town like city like Orlando to New York, and maybe the exposure of everything also helped her evolution. So, being in New York and going out and meeting people in Brooklyn. Now she's living in Brooklyn, and oh shit, that's my friend. Oh, she's a lesbian, but I really like her. She does my hair. But it's all that shit that might have also helped her evolution even before she got to television, because she put herself in a different. She ended up in a different space. That's all I'm saying.
Listen, that's fair, and that could very well be true.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I didn't read. I like Joy Reid. I'm not that vested in her.
I didn't go through the post with a fine tooth comb
and try to navigate or decipher.
It was bullshit. She was calling Charlie. What's the guy's name? Who's this governor of Georgia, Florida? Charlie Crist?
I don't know.
Apparently, he's gay on the low.
Okay.
And that's a big thing in Florida. People know
I thought his name was Rick Scott or something like that.
But Charlie somebody was the guy before. Okay. Maybe it was Rick Scott, actually.
Okay.
But apparently he's gay on the low.
Okay.
And anybody in Florida apparently knows that. So she was being, she was fucking with him.
Like, okay.
Miss Rick. And then it wasn't like, oh, I hate gay. It wasn't
right,
that.
Right.
It was, again, I'm not condoning what she said, but it wasn't crazy. Which is why it kind of ended up petering out.
Yeah.
It wasn't like she was like, I hate gay motherfucker. It wasn't.
Yeah. I wasn't throwing her out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily feel like that. I think if we do want to take that, I think if you want to have a disagreement with Joy, I think Joy has enough opinions that one can disagree with, right, that doesn't make this the straw that breaks the camel's back necessarily. Yeah.
So since we talk about baby out with the bathwater,
listen, there's a whole slew of them motherfuckers going out.
Let's
with
jump
the
on into Rachel Dolezal.
Oh, yeah. I still haven't watched that shit. So
okay,
I
so I watched it. You watch it?
I watched
it. I'm not
watching
that.
I suggest you watch it.
I don't want to.
No, you should.
Okay.
Because it's kind of not what you think it might be.
I just don't want to watch anything about her at all.
Okay,
but that's fair.
But yeah, like the way the trailer was put out, I thought it was gonna be like a lot about like her kids and da da da. They're in it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, you know, obviously it's really about her. And to me, my takeaway from it was, with all this fake blackness that she has, the bitch change her hair every day, son? Like, every day, it was different braids, and box braids, different colors. But after all of it, what she didn't grasp is everything that she was doing in her mind while she was like, this is who I am, this is how I feel, she just could not grasp the fact that, yo, you're exhibiting massive white privilege by doing this, and you don't seem to understand that even because you have these black kids and you're down with the cause and you do hair in the fucking kitchen, that your white privilege is what got you to this space, and this keeps carrying you to this space. Like, the documentary makers to me was slick, were very subtle with it though. Mm-hmm. Like when they showed her, she put this book out, which ended up only selling 600 copies, so nobody gave a fuck. But the point was, she did the book tour, but she was on the Today Show 3 times.
That's insane.
She was the New York Times does a, I don't know if they still do it, they do like an online thing,
like a live,
an author.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She did that shit.
She had major looks.
Major shit. And major it was only because she's white.
Right.
It's like, you don't understand. Like, she didn't
like, really nothing
she did
else to
no
it.
Black press. Zero. Zero.
Right, right.
She didn't go and go see your man Roland.
In fairness, I'm positive nobody sent her an invite.
Yeah, we ain't want her.
In fairness, I'm saying, I'm positive.
She did Melissa.
I am positive.
She did Melissa.
I was mad at Melissa because Melissa fucking took her on.
Right.
Took her in, basically. Like, I understand your plight. I think that if her publicist or her book agent or whatever, the book people publicist, would have called Essence or Ebony, I believe they would have done something on it to destroy her, but they would have done something.
And maybe that's why her publicist didn't do
it. Maybe, but the thing was, when she would go on these white shows, she would end up getting destroyed anyway,
right,
especially if they had anybody black on the show. It would be like, what the fuck? So, and then when she would get destroyed, it would be bugged because, like, her face would be cracked. Like, she couldn't, she'd almost be like,
I don't understand.
Oh, I thought y'all was going to be down with me. Like,
right,
why are y'all
right.
mad?
No, I
understand. How'd you take it?
I took it, first of all, I'm glad I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
It was very well done.
It is. It's
because
very well
done. It was evenly laid out.
And you get her backstory, which we'll get into in a second.
What I will say is there were a couple of things that really jumped out to me probably by halfway through the program. She is in absolute isolation.
Oh, she has no friends.
She is in absolute
isolation. She has no friends.
Isolation. To where it was jarring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You watch this woman and it's like, even aside from everything, right? Like you see a person trying to sort of create a home for her children, right?
Right.
Like she's trying to just exist, create a home, and you can feel the isolation down to the point where they don't even show someone on the street.
Wow.
She'll be out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, normally there'll be a neighbor or there's not a car going by. Now,
oh,
I think
wow.
that was probably done
on purpose. Yeah. Yeah.
To really exhibit and show the isolation.
Right.
But it was pretty jarring because what you also noticed was that you would have someone who is, because she's in such isolation, is what leads her to social media. Yeah. Because it is her only connection to people.
Right.
It's her only connection. And you can see that because she is in such dire need of a human connection mm-hmm. that she puts herself out there crazy. To be abused in a way, right?
Because she's like, abuse is better than nothing.
Yo, I gotta say, and I gotta say, man, like, you know, when she took her boys to the barbershop, the man who's not on camera, there's a man who comes out of the shop and walks up to her and yells at her and talks to her in no fucking way. Right. That a man should be talking to a woman. None. She didn't fucking deserve that.
Yeah.
I don't care about all of that other shit that she's doing. She did not deserve for that man to be speaking to her like that and taking her boys in the shop as fucking customers. Like, nigga, if you felt like that...
Nigga, but you taking my money.
But you taking my money. Yeah. Right? Like, if you felt that strong, yo, like, he was mad that she was parked in front of the shop.
Yeah.
She didn't didn't even go inside because she said, I don't want to...
Yeah, she didn't want to drive. So the boys inside, she's sitting in the car just chilling.
Sitting in the car.
He was like, you got to move. You got to move your car.
Yeah, you can't be out in front of my
shop.
Crazy. Yeah. Wow. Crazy. Yeah. And I was and honestly, it was the first time, and I mean look, I don't feel sympathetic for the world that she has dressed herself in, but I felt sympathetic in that capacity because it was like, yo, my nigga, like she's literally just sitting in the car.
Yeah.
Like she's not fucking bothering you.
Yeah.
And it ain't like your barbershop is popping, my nigga. Your shit look like an old country.
It wasn't.
Yeah, it's like, nigga.
She lives in Spokane, Washington.
Yeah, so I know it's not a bunch of choices for them kids.
Right, right. Only shop,
Mr.
Man.
Earl, that's the only shop open.
Been cutting 40 years.
Yeah, so.
I used to cut the CR Super Silence before they moved over.
So what I also saw was you saw a person that also. What I noticed was that they did not have a lot of history outside of her family. There were no friends. There was no one she went to Howard with.
Nope.
There was no pictures.
Nope.
There was nothing identifiable to give her any sort of, I don't want to say credence, but like to give her any sort of like, I'm at a loss for words, but. You just didn't see anything.
You knew she had no community.
She had no... Yeah, she didn't have...
Part of the reason she didn't have the pictures is because on all those pictures, she was white.
Yeah, that's not... But
she was like, I'm not putting no pictures up on me white because this is who I am.
But I don't know... I don't know that by the time she had gotten to Howard...
She was white.
That... Okay. But there's still a picture.
Right.
You cannot... You cannot tell...
I'm saying, I don't think she wanted...
She may not have had that.
Oh, you mean?
As a journalist, that's what I'm saying. What I find very interesting is, like, dude, you can't tell me if a journalist wanted to do a piece on Jeff Sledge and they went to fucking 200 people that went to Morgan during the time you was there. There's not a picture of you out there.
Acting an ass.
You know what I'm saying? In front of some 78 Cutlass. You know what I'm saying? Showing out.
Acting an ass.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you can see that... There was a dysfunctional family, an abusive family.
That was the part that they let out that I didn't know, and I think a lot of people don't know, is apparently her parents adopted a bunch of black kids.
No, I think we did know that because she was saying something about how the other kids got beat.
Yes, they got...
Or something like that. Like
and one of the girls who, you know, she calls her sister. You know,
and like resented her, I think, or something.
The parent, no, the, well, the,
she's
the,
being
the,
abused.
She's being abused, but the sister, still, I think she must live in Spokane, because she was in the documentary, and she talked about being abused and by the white parents. So basically, Rachel was those kids' protector,
okay.
Tried as much as she could anyway, so her oldest, quote-unquote, son is actually her brother, who stayed with her, too, but again, because she was the one that was like, yo, what the fuck is y'all doing? And I think that's also, I think that's where the affinity for blackness started with those kids. And I think something clicked in her mind when she was like, I want to be like them because I love them and I hate that they're being abused and I'm going to make myself, and she just started to morph, I guess, over time into you know, connected into blackness.
And again, I think that the biggest issue, like, you know, what that was stated very eloquently in the documentary several times over by different people, was about the white privilege thing and the fact that she is not grasping that she has this and not even acknowledging that she has this.
Exactly.
What I also found, you know, very interesting was, look, I don't like to talk about nobody kids.
Oh, yeah.
But that little 13-year-old boy.
Yeah. I forget his name now.
Franklin.
Is that his name?
Franklin is very whiny.
Whiny as fuck.
Franklin.
Mom, I don't want to go there. Why are you making me go?
Franklin is very... And again, what did you see? You saw a kid with no friends.
Nope.
No interaction.
No male figure.
Yo, they are living, like, it's almost like a fucking solitary. Like, they can move around, but they don't have an existence outside of anybody that might come to visit them, maybe one or two people.
And like, when people come to visit, seeing they come because she does hair.
And then, you know, like, she has another baby during the documentary. This is the time she had gone on to the reel or whatever. And you know, she has this kid and she gives like this weird excuse about the dad and they blur out the face and kind of don't know who the dad is or whatever. Yeah. And she says that, it was either marry him or abort the baby.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, that don't sound right.
That's like very extreme.
Yeah. Right. Like, you marry me or don't have my kid. Like,
so...
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
She has the kid or whatever, and you get the sense that she is, you know, she goes and makes a name change, which she gets an...
Yeah, that was crazy.
A super African name, which I'm like, you don't really... What you see is you see a person lost.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you see a person grasping for straws, trying to figure it out. And she has been so knee-deep into the I'm black routine of it all that she is just not budging on
it. Yeah, she's like, yeah.
She's not budging on it. And she's trying to use that. And she uses those boys. She uses
this girl from called her out on that shit.
And also, too, what was very interesting was one of the young ladies said is that she... always associates blackness with pain.
Yeah. Mm. My struggle.
Her black, like, there's no joy.
Yeah.
So she's using her blackness just for attention and empathy and sympathy.
And she uses the boys, like, she uses the my boy, I have two black sons, and they're gonna have a horrible life because they're black boys, and in society, black boys are treated, this is true, I get it. But again, because she's not black, she has this one-sided view of what blackness is. Like
Trey said, it's always about
pain and protesting and, you know, just...
There is no joy. There is even... Again, the documentary is... I don't know if it was just telling or if this was just microcosms of the life, but, like, you look at this house and it is not a lot of life in that house.
Yeah. Right.
It's very... it's very solemn. Mm-hmm. It feels like a very quiet home.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yo, where the Xbox at, my nigga? Like, Franklin, what you doing? Yeah, like, you ain't playing Call of Duty with the headset cursing out somebody in Wichita, Kansas?
Yeah, your mom ain't frying no chicken.
Yeah,
because,
like,
again, she doesn't really understand what black is. And then the oldest boy ends up leaving. Okay. He's like, I can't take it. He goes overseas. He's like, dude.
Shit, I'm like, you could have watched your own hashtag on Black Twitter and seen how we make joy out of anything.
But that's the thing, right? You have to have a certain level of experience,
right,
for that to be seen as okay and as joy. Like, right, when you get on Black Twitter and we talk about our sort of collective ass whoopings.
Yeah.
And we all identify with these very specific things.
And we laughing at it.
Thanksgiving coming around and niggas like...
And we talk about when your uncle stabbed somebody in, but it's funny.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, right, you don't... Like, if you haven't grown up in that world or of that world, that shit sounds... insane, yeah. right? You can't possibly wrap yeah. your head around the fact that your uncle stabbed your other uncle
yeah.
over a spades game yeah. on and Thanksgiving.
It's funny. Yeah, and it's funny. Yeah.
You only stabbed him a little bit, nigga.
You know, they was going off that brown. You know how I go.
Yeah.
And then somebody else be like, yeah, nigga, I bet he had a crown roll back. You be like, yeah, he shot it. Yeah,
exactly.
Sean said, at the end of it all, she's a very sad person and a very sad and I also think one more thing, to your point about the black thing, I think, you know, when she faked everybody out, she said about 5 years when she faked everybody out and became head of the NAACP right. and she was doing shit. So in her mind, like, it happens like with athletes or, you know, a lot of people that worked in the music business, a lot of things, like, she's like, that 5-year run was
great.
Amazing.
Can I get back to that?
I need to get back to that because she basically said, yo, if I wish somebody would help but let me teach again, because she was teaching African American studies. Like, she's like, if I could just get back to it.
She could actually teach African American studies as a straight up white woman.
But somebody said in the thing, somebody said, yo, she doesn't understand, like, that if she just become her white self, she could do a lot more, she could help more because yeah. she's white.
Yeah.
She's gonna get into spaces that a black person can't get into. But like Sean said, she's like, I ain't letting this black go.
Because when she becomes white, she becomes an average white woman.
True.
She becomes very run of the mill. She's yeah. a soccer mom. She's one of many.
Yeah.
And when she does this and puts on this costume and puts on this face and does the tan and all of that shit, she becomes unique. She becomes a bit of a spectacle.
True.
This is someone who is desiring a certain level of attention. This is someone who is, because one of the things I said before I even realized she was pregnant was, I was like,
and why is she pregnant again?
I was like, yo, who hitting that? I'm like, yeah. somebody gotta be hitting it, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, just somebody. Not to be too crass, but yeah. I'm like, I mean, she's somebody. The worst looking thing in the world. Yeah. She's right. Somebody balls deep, yeah. nigga. So that was the first thing. Then I'm like, oh, she's pregnant. So then I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe they're not gonna show dude.
Right.
But my point was, there was a dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There was a dude.
She was married before too.
Yeah, like you can also get a sense that
black dude.
She is sort of like, she is grasping for straws for a community, mm-hmm. for a family.
That's why she was so trying to get to the older black man, called her his dad.
That she
yeah.
is.
Oh yeah, I remember
she
that.
Is
yeah.
her
talk to him on that.
Yeah, it's again, I don't have a lot of sympathy for her because the way she's going about it is just terrible and it's terribly yeah. wrong. But I was able to get a bit more understanding into a little bit more of the psyche.
Why she is.
But you know what? But even though she would be an average white woman, if you want to say that, if she decided to be a white woman, she would actually be more likely to be welcome into black spaces, mm-hmm. into black community. There's something called allies. You know
because,
what I'm
saying? But here's the kicker. You have to have grown up around black people, actual
right.
black people,
right.
to
right.
understand right. that we do not view every white person
yeah.
as a fucking white devil and
yeah.
we don't want you around.
Yeah. Right.
Right? right. Like, but that's what I'm saying. Again, when you consistently place blackness on this sort of level of pain
yeah.
or a level of aggression or a level of, you know, something that makes you empathetic, like
right.
that's what you think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like I said, I mean, I know a lot of people are against watching it, but I think it's a better watch than you think it will be. And it's very interesting.
And I also get the sense she really did this for the money.
Oh, totally.
Of course.
No, like, I mean, book,
because what else
too.
Is she doing? She
book,
what else she got to do? Because
she can't work. She can work, but the job she wants, she can't get.
Right.
And then she wrote this book thinking this book was going to be lit. And she sold 500 copies in a week and the first time it came out. So that's over. So like you said, she did this for whatever bread they gave her. And I don't know what's next. I want to mention North Korea real quick, because I think with all the craziness going on, the story's, you know, it's kind of going under the radar, but for the first time ever, a South Korean president stepped on North Korean soil.
Yeah.
They met at the DMZ, Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in. I don't know if I'm saying Moon's name correctly, but they met at the DMZ, I guess this was last week, and shook hands. And then what a lot of people don't know is They weren't supposed to step over the DMZ. That wasn't planned. No. Oh. They just came to shake hands.
Okay.
And then you see Kim Jong like grab his hand almost like a kid. Like,
right.
Come on. No, you come over here.
Right, right.
And they stepped over and the press was like, holy shit. Like,
right.
he's in the fucking, you know, what's going to happen? And they kind of like shake hands and take pictures. And then Kim grabs his hand again and they step over there. To the South Korea side. And the people are like, holy shit. Like, this has never, ever happened. So people are speculating what Kim Jong-un is doing by doing this, because
Kim really did look giddy. He looked giddy.
And this was his thing. He reached out to them. And
even though I heard Trump is trying to take credit for it.
Of course he is. Trump has nothing to do with this.
Right.
Trump has zero to do with this. This is Kim Jong-un reaching out to South Korea. This is my theory. My theory is, obviously, the sanctions is fucking his country up. Even, you know, he's eating good. He's fat as a pig, but his country's fucked up. He now has nuclear capacity, so he's way more comfortable doing shit because he knows, like, I can set it off if y'all want to set it off. And I think he also knows Trump being bananas. If North Korea and South Korea connect together, they're now a superpower.
Right.
The way that Germany connected when they knocked the wall down. I think he's like, yo, I'll give you some shit. Yo, give me some shit. You know, now people can kind of go back and forth, maybe see each other in certain cases, and we become a superpower in case your man want to act stupid. Because there was kind of no way around doing this anyway, because if by chance, you know, Kim set off a missile and America struck back, like, South Korea is literally next door.
Right.
Like, they was going to catch it anyway.
But
like,
I'm very interested to see.
25 million people. They was going to catch it anyway. So, y'all might as well click up, because ain't no way around you catching it if he jumps
out
the window.
But I am curious to see, like, if this really leads to any kind of change.
That's what I'm curious. Are people going to be able to go back and forth?
Yeah, like, is it going to open trade? Are people going to be able to go back and forth? Like, is North Korea going to start relaxing some shit? Like,
my gut is that it's going to open some trade, not with us, but it's going to open some trade with China.
Okay.
I think China was behind this shit on the low low.
That's possible.
Like, yo, niggas click up, nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I think they kind of goosed it on. Trump talking about, come on, Trump's ridiculous. I don't even want to talk about this nigga. But anyway, yeah, I just wanted to mention that, because, like I said, I just think that story just went under the radar, and it's like,
it's a very big deal.
It's a massive story.
But that's what's so crazy. Like, we live in a time right now in the States where so much crazy shit is coming out of our administration daily. That massive, like, that's damn near like the Berlin Wall coming down.
Yes, not damn near, it is.
Like, and that was a major world news event, and we all just like, scroll past it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Stormy Daniels. It's like, yo, I mean, I get it. That's important too, but like, yeah. Nigga, these niggas are clicked up.
Right.
So, yeah, I just wanted to mention that. Real Housewives of Potomac.
I missed this Sunday's episode, but I saw a clip of Karen doing something with her wig, and I was dying.
Yeah. You know what? Karen was actually cool this week.
Okay.
She kind of laughed at herself for the first time in a long-ass time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know how long it was going to last.
Right.
But this week, she kind of laughed at herself. Like I said, the wig was slipping and she was making jokes about it.
Right.
She wasn't, you know, acting crazy, whatever. It wasn't really that much of a racy episode. Mm-hmm. The gist of it was a lot of the new girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot of the new girl, Candace. Yeah, she's a lot. Her getting married to this dude and, you know, and them digging into her background. Like the woman on the show.
Were they digging or was she talking too much?
Both.
Okay.
Because she talks a lot.
But way too much.
But she said basically, like, I knew they was going to dig, so fuck it. Let's do this then, nigga. Like, all right, come on, we're here. Because they had, like, a little thing with the plastic balls or whatever.
Or whatever.
And afterwards they were eating, and she was just like, oh, so basically, like, bring it on.
Right.
What questions y'all got, you know? She definitely talks a lot.
Yeah. She talks a lot.
I don't really know how she quite fits in.
Because her family has money or something?
Yeah, she...
Maybe.
That's what she claims.
She came on basically saying she grew up like Huxtables. And that was...
Yeah.
But then you find out that her parents, her actual biologicals, divorced, right? Mm-hmm. Her pops ain't really in her life.
Early.
Their pops ain't in her life. But then it's revealed that her mom remarried.
Okay.
And her mom makes paper. Her mom is a realtor.
I can't.
No, no, no. She's a psychiatrist.
Okay.
Yeah. Psychiatrist. Apparently, she does, has done really well. And but she finances the girl's whole shit.
Yeah, I know. She kind of she kind of spoke to that. Yeah,
yeah.
And
so,
apparently, old boy who like he is a bartender or something.
Yeah, he got a he's a chef.
He's a manager.
He's like a manager
at a restaurant. I mean, it definitely feels
they real middle class, and it's fine. Like, it's fine.
Look, he's probably a nice guy.
He seems like a nice guy.
I bet dollars to donuts that if he was, if Chris was Daytwan, he would never get a shot with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is white,
he getting a shot.
He getting a shot with her.
You mean if he was Daytwan, like with the same kind of job?
If he was, if it was dollar for dollar, he matched out with a black dude that was from, you know, wherever
from Southeast DC,
whatever, right?
Andre,
he did not come from a certain stock.
Yeah,
yeah.
Her mother would not be okay with that shit. Her mother would not be okay with that shit. But you know, the white man's ice is colder.
Yep.
And, you know, it is what it is. I also think she takes a lot of pride in the fact that she's dating down.
Right.
Because she mentions it a lot.
Yeah, like, I'm the one with the money, and she says it with a sense of pride
and with a sense of accomplishment that she has somehow sort of lowered her expectations of a husband in order to, you know, be with this guy.
Yeah, to accommodate.
And I should be applauded for that.
Yeah, exactly, because I'm not stuck up or whatever. But, I mean, it was a good show. It just wasn't as spicy as some of the other episodes, but
yeah. I mean, we finally I didn't realize Giselle Sherman was fucking Sherman Douglas,
who played in the NBA.
Played at Syracuse in the NBA.
Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah. You told me,
nigga. I was sitting there. First thing I said was, "This nigga got an old name." Sherman. Like, how old is this nigga? Right?
Eight.
I'm saying, but I'm like, I'm looking at his. First thing I look at is the shirt.
Yeah.
All
right. You can tell if it's some bullshit or not. Yeah. And I'm like, nah, he doing all right for himself.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I'm saying? He ain't fucked up.
Yeah.
And then she said, oh, he played in the NBA. And then they showed the picture. I was like, get the fuck out. Ain't but one Sherman played in the NBA since 1973.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. God, peace to him,
though. Peace to Sherman. I got to say peace to Meek Mill.
Meek home.
He home. He went to the Texas game, but since then he's pretty low.
I gotta say, I mean, I know he got to go to the Coliseum, take a shower, get a cut, do all of that.
Hang out with Kevin Hart.
I'm just saying, I'm going home, man.
Yeah.
I'm going home. I don't give a fuck. I mean, I know it's a moment for Philly, and Philly is having a whole sports year, and it's a thing. And Meek is part of that because his song was theme song for the Eagles. What the fuck, nigga? I'm going home.
I'm gonna give him a pass only because at least they brought his son to him.
Okay.
His son was with him at the game.
Okay.
So I'm gonna give him. I hear you. I hate you. I'm not.
Absolutely fucking wrong.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
But I would be more irate if he went to the game and was just like just chilling. Like, at least
his
son was there.
Right.
He did see his son and watch the game. But I hear you. Right. Go home. You know,
lay in your own bed, go in your refrigerator, nigga,
exactly.
And just rummage around.
Exactly.
Walk around in your drawers. Like, what? I mean,
yeah, it's whatever. A lot, yeah. Real quick, bro's favorite show, Atlanta.
Atlanta's starting to get on my nerves.
Okay, so why is it getting on y'all nerves?
So, this is why Atlanta's starting to get on my nerves, because I watch Atlanta for smart comedy.
Uh-huh.
And it's fine that sometimes there's some layers and some nuance. But fucking Donald he's starting to get to that space, it feels like, where he is intentionally trying to do shit just to be different. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously the Teddy Perkins episode, mm-hmm. which would have been fine if it was a standalone, but then even with, like, and the Drake episode wasn't bad. It wasn't that funny, but it was whatever. But, like, even the joint with Paperboy in the Woods, it's like I gotta figure out what the fucking metaphors and the symbolism and all that other shit.
Did you figure it out?
I mean, I know that, like, his mom had died and the dude in the forest wasn't really supposed to be real and Paperboy was going through a lot trying to keep it real, but it was stressing him out. And I mean, I get it, all that. I don't really want to think that hard when I'm watching this fucking show. That's my point. And even this episode, it started all right and then it kind of went left. And they left the funniest fucking part of the whole show
Oh, yeah.
out of the goddamn
the
show.
TLC shit.
Like, you took out a hilarious moment of these dudes doing creep dance in these fucking silk pajamas, mm-hmm. but you left in some naked white boys dancing the fucking Laffy Taffy. Like, I just, it was just, I don't know. I just, the season started out so fucking promising, and then you got to, like, the funniest episode of any TV, like, that I've seen in a long time, and then you just went in this whole, with this barbershop episode.
What's his name?
Bibby?
Bibby.
And then you just went in this whole other direction, and it's like, and it's almost there. It's right in reach. It's right in reach, like the Paperboy episode. I mean, I know you gotta do some dark episodes. Not everything can be all laughs and giggles and everything, and some of it's gotta be surrealist and whatever. But like, nigga.
But if you look, okay, I'm gonna let you go, Brooke.
Like his face.
His face. But listen, if of course, I'm on the other side of y'all. If you look at the arc, right, even the Paperboy episode. When he's in the woods and all that shit, right? Then when he comes in, he has that kind of cry when he comes out of it, and then you see he takes the picture with the white people. Yeah. It's basically him saying, because if his mom at the beginning is saying, I ain't raised no lazy boy.
Yeah. Blah, blah.
So he basically was like, I gotta get my shit together.
And that's why
now he fires Earn.
Like, I understand that, but I just don't know why we had to go through all that to get to that.
Well, because nigga had
you gotta be artsy.
Nigga had a metamorphosis. Go ahead, bro. What you got to say, man?
It's the dumbest fucking episode.
What was the point of this episode other than it being a catalyst for Earn to finally get Earn?
Because it was showing how Earn constantly puts him in these situations where he's ain't making no money. He's in some crazy spot. He's sleeping in the crazy spot. Like, it's like another thing. Earn kind of keeps dangling it. Like, if you do this, then we'll get to that. If you do this, it's constantly that. Right. It's like there's no growth. Which, and again, back to the Woods episode. Also, that girl put that in his head too. Like, you need to level up.
Yeah, I remember.
And then being before that with Clay County.
Yeah.
Yo, bro, my manager got some to do. But like, it's like constantly, like, nigga, you need to get an Earn and him just show Earn, put him in for him the last straw of a fucked up situation.
Well, you know what? I guess part of it is. Well, I'm sorry, Sean. You were going to say
something. No, go on with the dumb shit. Go on. Nah, what you gonna say,
bro? Dumb. It was dumb. It was dumb. It was dumb because there is no world in which a nigga like Tracy or a nigga like Paperboy or them sort of niggas leave their bags and leave their shit in them broad's house. There ain't no world, my nigga.
Especially if they weren't going back there. Especially not to sleep out of there.
None, my nigga.
Yeah.
There ain't no world.
Right.
Where
they was going back there to spend the night.
Nigga, I don't give a fuck what was going on. There ain't no world where that happens. And let's just...
Earn would have done it. But they would have done it. You're right.
Not Paperboy. Maybe even Darius would have done it.
But not
Paperboy and not Tracy.
Right.
Now, let's just sweep that out of the way. You niggas get into a fight.
Yeah.
Right? On campus.
Mm-hmm.
You guys run to a fucking frat house.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is saying we need to get the fuck out of here. Nobody. You niggas spent the night.
Because they didn't want to get caught by the cops.
My nigga.
Nigga with the white...
With a fucking white town car.
You gonna get your shit and get out.
There was no logical part of that. Like, none. It didn't make sense. And that's what I was saying about what I feel about the character. The only person that is always in character and does
Darius.
Shit is Darius. That's it. He's the only person that's in character.
Right.
Some of this shit is like weird. I'm like, nigga, Paperboy, you have a fucking Uber account? You walking in the woods, my nigga? Like that's dumb. I don't give a fuck about keeping it real. That's
Paperboy might not have had an Uber account, but you're right. You would have called Darius like,
you
would have
said, you
you would have called somebody
plus,
like,
plus, we keep forgetting this nigga just was selling drugs
four
episodes ago.
Right.
Right, like, this is not some college kid who's coming into his own, who don't know no better.
Right.
This is a nigga from the street, so listen, even with the Earn shit, it's like, my nigga, I understand what you guys are trying to portray here, right?
Right.
Earn was accepted into Princeton. Now listen, I ain't saying if you get accepted into Princeton that you're going to be the next president of the United States.
Mm.
But what I am saying is, people who get accepted to Princeton are usually not fucking dummies.
Well, I think with the Earn thing, it's supposed to be like Earn is trying to be street smart and ain't cut out for it.
But you know? But what I'm saying is he's not even marrying the two, right? Like there is no he's not using any of the things that would have gotten you accepted into an institution like Princeton.
Right.
Right? Like, for example, again, if there's a certain stick-to-itiveness that people who are accepted to Ivies have. There's a certain dedication. There's a certain. This is what I'm talking about character development. They just throw shit out there for the sake of throwing shit out there. And again, like now I was saying, for me, it just becomes harder and harder to watch.
Right.
Because not that you necessarily need a show to be predictable, but I would like to see... like character, like for that shit to really make sense, and none of that shit made sense.
And
to
I guess my thing is like sometimes they're on and sometimes they're not. So after last season, I was prepared to have very little real cohesive story arc in Atlanta because that's the thing. Like the episodes usually aren't necessarily congruent. So you've gotten in the habit of now like watching the show and every episode not necessarily picking back up on the last episode.
No, not at all.
But now, like you're saying, we supposed to be following and paying attention to this whole arc between Earn and fucking Paperboy. Like, which, is it Uchiwali or is it One Mike? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, which one are we doing? Are we watching it as kind of like standalone episodes? Are we watching this to watch progression of what the fuck is happening with them? Are you going to do this for part? Because if that's the case, where the fuck did Teddy Perkins episode come in at? You know what I mean? Which is it?
I don't understand, like... I wanna laugh, and I get that there's a level of dark humor that's associated with the show.
Right.
I really do, but I think that Donald Glover has a way of
doing
what? Yes, and it's that artsy New York NYU kid shit. It's the Vans and the fucking whale shorts,
right?
And that whole.
But that also, whole like you're okay with it, Jeff, because shit. You wear shirt scarves. So like that's fine with you because
what the hell is a shirt scarf?
You had
the shirt scarf that you had on the other week.
Oh yeah, yeah. Calm down.
Exactly. This is why you're okay with that shit.
Hold on now,
because you will come up with literally a shoestring around your neck and be like, "Is Yoshi Yokomoto?"
And I paid $300.
Yeah. Exactly.
Y'all know nothing about it.
Y'all don't know much.
But I think that with Atlanta, man, I think it, even when you watch like Insecure,
right.
there is a level of storytelling there that I think he's missing. And I think that there is a reason that you do television like that, right? Like there's a reason you have people vested
right.
in characters. There's a reason that people want to keep coming back.
Mm. Right.
There's a reason that people were like, who shot Huck? You lock into a character and they don't necessarily, like even with Paperboy, right? Like Paperboy to me is not a character that goes from one extreme to the next, right? Like,
right.
there would have been a conversation to Earn about, yo, either step up or get the fuck out.
Right.
You got a month. Or, you know, or some ridiculous time that he knows he can't do something, right? And you know what I'm saying? It doesn't seem, for such a realistically setted show,
right.
it doesn't feel like realistic people.
Right.
Mm, well. I like it.
I mean, I'm going to still keep watching it.
Watch it. I'm going to support it.
I'm going to watch it.
I'm rooting for all the black people.
But like I said, also, the fact that they left that fucking creep scene out, I was like, this is exactly what the fuck. It pissed me off because I'm like, this is exactly what we watched this fucking show for.
But like I said, there's a very specific. Listen, I don't want to be too deep here.
Right.
But they were having fun. And it seems like he really doesn't like to show any of them
having fun or enjoying
some time or being loose
right.
or not having this thick tension, you know.
Like again, there has to be some shit going on.
Because that's what being black and being poor and being in the hood is, right? Like you are under this emotional fucking stress all the time. And, you know, so, I mean, maybe that was it. I don't know. I can't for the life of me think why he would. And you can't tell me it's time. Because the fucking episodes be anywhere between 37 minutes and 47 minutes.
Right. You also can't tell me it's licensing.
Yeah.
I don't believe that licensing. Shit.
No,
right.
Licensing. They got all kinds of shit on there.
Right.
Well,
right,
well, shit. Keep watching the goddamn show. I want to mention, just want to give a quick mention to Starbucks boys, men. They settled with the city of Philadelphia for $1 a piece, and $200 to go towards helping young entrepreneurs.
But see, I'm confused.
And there's undisclosed sum they got from Starbucks directly.
That's what I was gonna say. I'm confused because I've also seen it written that the $200K came from Starbucks.
Yes, me too. I'm confused about this shit because right. I'm very confused about this shit. God damn it! Because exactly. Because I saw the I thought I saw the Starbucks put up the 200 racks.
Right, which doesn't make
I
sense.
I saw the city. What I read
was that the city put up 200 racks.
That they settled. They settled for the nominal amount of $1
a piece.
Right. Yeah, a piece or whatever. Mm-hmm. That for the city of Philadelphia to put up $200,000
for young entrepreneurs. And then they got undisclosed bread from Starbucks.
I didn't read anything about undisclosed bread from Starbucks.
I think I read that.
So,
but my point is this. Let's say I'm going to look it up while we're talking.
And I saw that the $200K was for the development of programs for young entrepreneurs. It just seems very vague. It seems very vague.
The shit don't got no, it don't say minority, don't say black people. Now, next thing you know, they're going to take that $200,000 and they're going to give it to some white gal named Sharon.
What's the parameter?
Who's make soap.
Open up a bagel factory.
Yeah. Who's controlling the fund? What are the parameters?
If the purpose of this was to ensure that there was some ability for young entrepreneurs to have access to capital,
right?
Why would you not take that $200,000 and use it at your discretion? Even though $200,000 is literally ashtray money,
right?
That is no money for a city like Philadelphia,
right?
Okay,
right.
That is no money for Starbucks. They probably literally had that shit in the petty cash at headquarters.
Get anything of the $200,000 in the back.
There's no money. It's like so. Again, what are you going to do? You're going to have a program for 3 or 4 people,
right?
Maybe. And then they probably have to sign some shit where they have to pay it forward or some shit like
that. That was my thing. Look, man. Even if they did get some, I'm still trying to see if they got the undisclosed bread from Starbucks. I haven't seen it either. But let's say for the sake of conversation, they did. So what? I still want more than a dollar from the fucking city.
Word.
I'm not selling for a dollar from the city. And it was wild.
I mean, it sounds noble and everything, but fuck that.
Fuck that. And I saw so many people when I posted this shit on the gram was like, yo, that's just wrong now, man. Yo, these guys, you know, they're being smart, man. They're paying it forward, man. Like,
yeah, fuck
like,
that.
You got to, like, you got to pay it forward. Everything can't always be about money. I'm like, yeah, but I texted y'all. But you know what? If come Christmas, they jammed up. And they started GoFundMe. Ain't none of you niggas talking that noble shit gonna do nothing.
Right.
Like, I'm not selling, I'm not getting arrested for no reason. And, you know, God bless to them, it's on film and it goes national and everything.
Give me my money and give them some money.
Yes! Yeah. I'm not taking a dollar. Right. No, fuck that. Why would I take a dollar?
Right.
You know, I think that these guys.
Yeah, do both. Exactly. Do both.
I think that these guys are looking for a level of nobility and
these niggas is Florida Evans. You had the chance to get up and you fucking took
you had the money from the Midnight Falcon from Cletus.
you made
James get that money back,
dumbass. Like, why would you take a
dollar? I just think it's I don't know what their plan is. I don't know if they have something else in the works. I would hope that they do. I don't think that they do based on this, because I just would have said, hey, undisclosed amount for everybody if I didn't want anybody to know.
Real talk.
But, you know, look, man, we know what's going to happen with the $200K. If that even happens, you know, it's definitely going to go to people that aren't going to be, that would not have been arrested in Starbucks.
Exactly.
Sitting there.
They're probably going to fucking give these niggas a lifetime, you know, card for lattes.
Nigga, get a grind
every day for life, nigga. Yeah. Good luck and God bless. So, I just wanted to mention that real quick, man. We got a couple more stories. We went out of time, but I wanted to also just mention the Waffle House.
Yeah.
Because they had two horrible incidents happen a few days apart. One was a white supremacist came in Tennessee. It was Knoxville or Nashville?
I think it was Knoxville.
Yeah, came in shooting people in a Waffle House, killed 4 people. a black hero named James
Shaw
Jr. Tackled the guy, wrested the gun out of his hand, and threw the gun over the Waffle House counter, and the cops came and arrested the guy safely, I might say.
Yeah.
So James Shaw is definitely, Jr. is definitely a hero. Never mentioned anything by the president, of course, but he's gotten a lot of other accolades, as he well deserves. And he actually put up a GoFundMe to raise money for the victims' families. So shows the kind of cat he is. He was on Ellen the other day and everything. So he's God bless him, man. He got shot. He got grazed in his arm, elbow arm area. But he's healthy, fortunately. And then in Alabama, in the Waffle House in Alabama, which is also on film, two cops came in to arrest a woman in Alabama Waffle House because she said that
she wanted to speak to a manager.
Yeah, because they were arguing because she didn't want plastic utensils.
She wanted plastic utensils. They want for takeout. They wanted to charge her.
Yes, they wanted to charge her.
But she had just recently gotten it, and she was like, didn't charge me, so...
Yeah, the other day, y'all didn't charge the way you charged me
so
now.
So she was like, what's the number to your home office? So I guess she was on some, like, no, I'm not leaving, give me the number to your home office type shit, and they called the cops.
Yeah, exactly.
And the cops, like, straight up, like...
Crazy.
Assaulted her. I mean, I get it. At one point, she actually...
At one point, she
actually was resisting arrest, which is what's fucked up.
A little bit, but it's like, why are you cops grabbing...
But they were grabbing her crazy from the door.
And she resisted arrest... Because are you arresting me? I'm sitting here doing nothing.
Right.
And also,
he didn't even say, I need you to leave, I need you whatever. Like, he immediately just went to start grabbing
her. And, I'm about to break your arm. And, yanked it down. Titty came out. Niggas, yanked their dress up. Like, then he started to choke her. It was like, what the fuck are you doing?
It was a lot.
It was like three grown-ass men on this girl who just wanted some plastic utensils. I believe she's going to... walk away with a nice amount of paper, which is fine, but I think that sometimes we don't really recognize that even if she walks around with a nice amount of paper, which she should, the trauma of that shit is crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Like, she might not never live down that like, honestly, like, she's from, like, deep Alabama.
Right.
You know, I don't even know what's there, but I really hope she goes get some therapy, because that shit is crazy.
Right. Yeah. But
plus, it's on film, it's so on film. Everybody's seen it. Like, you've seen her body exposed, and, like, it's craziness.
What I will say, and several people said this, there was nowhere near... the pickup or the outrage for that as there was for Starbucks.
Of course not.
And I don't want to get into the whole, black men don't defend black women, or we don't care as much about black women, or whatever have you conversation. But a couple of the parallel conversations that have been happening on a really heavy level over the past couple of weeks is, the artist versus the art, when we need to let these niggas go, and the role of a black woman either being, or when black men choose black men over black women, right? Because that's coming out with Cosby, that's coming out with Ye, that's coming out with Cosby, that's coming out with Kells. Maybe Nas, the Nas shit ain't really gotten there yet, but also with this. And I even saw some men say it, like, why is the Starbucks thing, like, news?
Yeah.
And this is nothing.
Yeah, and this is, honestly, if you have to compare them, they're both terrible. But this is worse.
Way worse.
Yeah, this is way worse.
Yeah, these guys got marched out. It was fucked up. It was fucked up, and they deserved anything they get, like, financially and whatever else. But, like, this girl was assaulted.
I actually think that might be part of it. Like, those guys were calm and cool and got marched out, and this one was so violent that I think that people are just kind of discounting it. You know what I mean? It's I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it. I don't want to say it's just because this one's a black woman and that was two black men. There's something about the optics about it, too. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but it definitely does bother me that this happened right on the heels of that.
Yeah, like, literally on the heels.
But also, like, it didn't even get the same kind of attention that the women from the golf course got.
No.
Right? Yeah. And again, this was the only violent encounter.
Yeah, I was going to mention that these four women were kicked off the golf course, which they were members of.
Wait, one of whom is the president of the local NAACP chapter.
Exactly.
And an attorney.
And they were members of because they claimed that, the people claimed that they were playing too slow.
That they were playing through too slow when they skipped. So they came to them first and they said that they were playing too slow. They skipped a hole and they were on their ninth hole break apparently they were A, keeping pace with the group in front of them, mm-hmm. which is really what you got to do. Like, your pace is set by whomever's in front of you. Mm-hmm. But also the people behind them, ready to get behind them at whatever hole, were still on break. So they weren't even ready to tee off. So the fact that you're insisting somebody move when you're actually not holding somebody up is, you know, a problem. So they called the police. And when they told the woman they were calling the police, they were like, oh, okay, we're going to wait. Which is like, that's when, you know.
Yeah.
You done fucked up. And the police got there and they were basically like, we don't know what we're here for.
Yeah, this is bullshit.
Yeah, but they canceled the chick's memberships. Like a whole thing.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, crazy.
I just want to say about that, I have to do a better job at having sympathy for folks in certain spaces. Mm. And what I mean by that is, I don't, that country club shit, man, that whole golf course country club shit.
You like, you want to be in with them, that's how they're going to
treat you? Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we often, you know, we want access to things that are so blatantly white and racist.
Right. Right.
And then we, you know, we sort of get annoyed when something white and racist happens to us right. in those spaces.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, when I drove to Atlanta, you know, like, I was in West Virginia. Like, motherfucker, I'm not stopping in West Virginia. I'm right. good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
There's nothing good happening
right.
to me at 6 p.m. on a dark road in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Right. Yeah.
Right? That is my assumption,
right?
That's
a good assumption.
So think about the fact that think about the slap in the face that you, because this is the thing. Think about the country club is it's not a gym membership,
right? Mm-hmm.
You don't walk in and join.
You have to be. A lot of shit.
You are for the most part because I had there's a country club next to us. Mm-hmm. It is a two person vetting system, mm-hmm. meaning two people that are already members
have to vouch
for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You then pay like a bond. You pay like a lump sum of money, usually thousands of dollars, mm-hmm. maybe $15,000, maybe $20,000. Then you pay anywhere between $1,000 to $1,500 a month
mm-hmm. right.
for the privilege to go to these places.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 100% positive that there were not enough black people that they didn't know that those women were members.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't walk into these spaces.
Yeah, right? How'd you get on the course?
That's my point, right? Yeah. Right? You don't waltz into these spaces at worst, these women were guests of a member.
Right.
In a worst case scenario. And that's how they would be treated. And this is what I mean, man. Like, I go into some of these spaces and yeah, man, just because I have the access doesn't mean I feel welcome. Yeah. And it doesn't mean I want to fucking be there. And again, I'm not angry that these women are doing whatever it is they want to do. Maybe that's the only golf course. Maybe that's the best golf course. They can do whatever they want to do.
Right.
I'm just saying, I am not surprised when I go into certain spaces
and you get that energy.
Yes, and that energy is surrounding me.
Yeah.
I feel it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
So show me where Miss Mary's at. I'm gonna give me a fish sandwich. Miss Mary gonna give me a hug.
Watch the game. Right.
And ask me how my babies is doing.
Exactly. My little pal, keep it.
Exactly.
That. You pay me next time. By the way, the woman in Alabama's name is Shakisa Clemens. That's the one to say her name.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby got
convicted.
Found guilty. He's facing up to 30.
Yeah.
I think, between
three counts, and each count carries a minimum.
Yeah. Niggas are still out here defending him.
Which is insane.
Niggas is comparing him to Emmett Till. Niggas is saying
his own wife compared him to Emmett Till. How come
Harvey Weinstein ain't do it, but he get away with it, but he ain't get. Look, Bill did the shit, right? He did the shit
and was doing it like for a really long time.
And also, what I think about this case, we're gonna run a little long, y'all, because we still got to talk about Ye. But what I think about this case, and I think I said this before, what's just fucking people up is. The women in this case are old.
Yeah.
So people look at them like, ain't nobody want that shit. It's like, yo, he's been doing this for like 40-something years. Yeah. Like, these women were like 25 when he did it.
Right.
Yeah, they're 65 now. But I think when people see a lot of these women who were charged, trying to get them convicted, mm-hmm. they're looking at these 60-something-year-old women and like, come on,
or
man.
I think they're not looking at all, right? Because what I keep arguing with people is some of these women are grandmothers. They've been chilling, living their own fucking life. And they decided to disrupt their lives.
To do this.
To come out about this.
Yeah.
What does it benefit them? None. Right? And the other thing is, because this is motherfucking Paul Mooney's point. Paul Mooney was talking about what was the money for. Which means you know this nigga was paying people off. Right? Mm. But also, it ain't just one broad. This particular case that he got convicted for was from 2004.
Yeah.
And
it's like
obviously, 60
something altogether, correct?
Like 50 something like that. But it's more than, it's at least 50. And that's what we know.
Yes, yeah,
that's what we know. So who knows how many still ain't talking. But anyway, this one, the one case that he got convicted for is from 2004. That's what that one's for. But if she went to trial with it, like, first of all, the payoffs is to prevent people from trying to take you to trial. That's A.
Of course.
You know, that's so the only Paul Mooney's like, what was the money for? Well, clearly the money was for this nigga, so this nigga wouldn't go to trial. But you're also assuming that whoever's taking him to trial right now, because one of my boys said that. They were like, well, whatever money was given, they're going to have to, like, give it back. And I was like, if she went to trial, she clearly did not get a payoff. That's civil. Exactly. That's civil cases. That's not criminal cases. But people are convoluting all kinds of arguments about Cosby. The fact of the matter is, A, even with Weinstein, Bill O'Reilly, even though Weinstein is a serial predator, most of Weinstein's allegations are of assault. He has like two rape allegations, mm-hmm. two flat out rape allegations. Only one woman that I know of actually went to the police, and they chose not to prosecute. People have been trying to bring Bill Cosby to trial since at least 1990. Like, actively trying to bring him to trial.
Yeah.
Since at least 1990. You know, so first of all, it took over 20 years to get to this point. This was even a retrial. So you can't say, oh, you know, Cosby didn't just pop up during the Me Too movement. Exactly. This shit ain't brand new. So you can't say, oh, well, they pinched Harvey, but he ain't doing nothing, and Bill ain't doing nothing, but they got Cosby. It took them 30 years to get Cosby mm-hmm. to this point. And Cosby was using the same methods of evasion as these motherfuckers. Power, influence, mm-hmm. money, intimidation. He's in the same class as these other motherfuckers. Meanwhile, R. Kelly has evaded prosecution. Fucking Russell is out there chilling someplace. He's had like 3 or 4 rape complaints against R. Kelly, him. Although I think they're looking into it now.
R. Kelly is a little, I would say it's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he does is he teeters on that line of legality.
Right. Because so the girl's like 17.
So the girls are kind of like right there.
Right.
There's a very cloudy and dark space mm-hmm. in which he dabbles and deals, in which there is the perception of free choice. Right. But we know the reality is mm-hmm. that right. they've been coerced and they've been, parents have been paid off.
Right.
At some point, hopefully, we will deal with and address parents serving their daughters up.
Yeah.
Because that shit has been going untouched and undealt
forever.
With.
Yeah.
Okay? And every time I see one of these fucking parents of the girls that have been in the dungeon.
Yeah, but we just thought he was going to help.
How's your daughter even get to this place?
But, okay. Bill. Okay, we know he's a fucking filthy dude.
Right.
He's been doing this shit. And what we're seeing is we're seeing people that will... Basically, the sentiment is, why is Bill going to prison for rape? And he should be able to rape with impunity
basically,
the same way these white men do.
Exactly.
And this is all very weird, especially when I see people like Chuck D have that sentiment. And I'm like, nigga, you're comparing the morality of this fucking rapey white man mm-hmm. to Bill Cosby, like that right. that's your comparison.
That's your argument.
That's your bar, my nigga.
That's not what they mean by that, but it's absolutely what,
else? What
no, they
it's
mean what, by
it, no, it's yeah. it,
what
it,
else you mean?
No, it's what they mean. It's what they mean. They will sit there and they will preach to you this fucking black nationalist, and they trying to do away with his legacy.
The white man should do with the white man.
This shit ain't got nothing to do with his legacy. This shit got everything to do with a hypocrite predator rapist that has been active. He was active for years, for decades, for fucking decades. And, like, and not only did he do it, that it shouldn't, in my opinion, this shit is bigger than Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Right? This shit way bigger than Nino Brown, because William Morris Agency, yeah.
His doctor who prescribed him
the doctors, the fucking agents of these girls who were, you know, filtering them through. All of that shit was enabled. All of
that
shit.
Because they all knew. Like, did you see the open letter from Marshall Warfield, who used to be on Night Court?
Yeah, I saw
it. Where Marshall was basically like, for those who didn't know, Marshall was like, you know, I'm coming for it now, and I feel really ashamed that it's taking me so long. She's like, Bill did the shit, and let me tell you how I know. She said that she got invited, like many people did, to meet with Bill. She met him. Obviously, they were both on NBC. They were on that Thursday night lineup. Mm-hmm. She met him somewhere. He invited her to come somewhere. Her agent, I think they were with the same agency.
Yeah, they were.
And her agent was like, yeah, you mean go. Just don't accept anything.
Yeah, don't drink nothing. Yeah.
And he said it like a laughing way. Yeah, and Marshall was like, wait, what you mean? He was like, no, seriously, don't. He drugs people's drink. Don't drink anything. But he said it almost to just be like, it's raining, take an umbrella.
Yeah.
Like, and
that was a known thing.
It was a known fucking thing. So that's why when people are like, oh, scandal. The other thing about the thing with Bill is that you really didn't have to even look that far under the hood. Like, his whole family life has been fucked up for a long time. There's the chick that was the daughter out of wedlock who was trying to blackmail him.
Oh, yeah.
There's a, you know what I mean? Like, if nothing else, we know 100% that he's been a serial philanderer. Like, we don't know shit else. We know that. So you okay with the nigga who's been cheating on his wife for the past 40 years, but actually accusing him of anything else? But I think, and that's also why motherfuckers want to believe that he wasn't assaulting people, because he could get a lot of pussy. But you still are missing the fact that rape is not about access. Like, he raped a couple of the women that he was actually in consensual affairs with.
Yeah.
And still drug them bitches.
Yeah, because that's just what he do.
That's what you do. Exactly. Like, there is something in your mind where you get off on the fact that a woman is completely incapacitated.
Exactly.
Completely taken. Like, you got to think about that, right? Like, John Witherspoon was joking, like, nobody in that house live but your ass. You know, like, there's something in that where that's what you want.
That's what you want. You want to be out of it while you smash that.
Yeah, even if the women were maybe going to. And I'm sure there are plenty of instances where the women maybe would have given consent, but you actually didn't even want
it. Yeah, no, I don't want that. I want you to be knocked out.
You didn't even want it.
So, I mean, it's wild because we're in this space now where, you know, shit is going wild, and there's a couple cats that are, I don't call these niggas heroes, but people look up to it to get knocked out. Cosby, there's Nas, who motherfuckers don't want to believe.
It's not getting a lot of chatter, and I think it's because a lot of people are like, I'm not touching that one.
Yeah, and it's like, look, I watched the Khalees interview, and the thing about it is like, yo, I'm not saying everything she said is true or not true, because I say I wasn't there,
right.
But if you watch the interview, she's not playing victim.
Right.
She's like, yeah, I was fucking up too.
Yeah, like, she's like, we were both drinking. We were both fighting each other.
But we were doing it to each other.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like I was just, in the corner, like, oh my God. She's like, I'm 5'10".
Yeah. She's a big girl.
I'm 5'10". I'm from Harlem. I can give it up. It's
right.
Whatever.
Right.
So we got down. But people just didn't want to accept the fact that they're, one of their faves could be a terrible, you know,
because
parent and husband,
human being.
Because she seems to be.
You know why? Because a lot of these niggas.
Same with Fab and Emily.
A lot of these niggas don't want to admit that they need heroes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the kicker. Yeah. Dude. Like, they need these niggas to be perfect because that's who they idolize.
But you know what, Sean? There's also, and I said this, really more towards talking about like the Cosbys and stuff like that. But this applies with Nas and Fab too. There's also the fact that if we start calling this out in our artists, we gotta start calling it out in our families.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of motherfuckers who you go to Thanksgiving and your uncle done assaulted your little sister, but your mama don't let her talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's still a lot of...
Just keep away from him.
Yeah, you know how he is. Don't be alone with Uncle Junior.
And that's the thing. Yeah. We've turned that pain into a bit of a joke. So we know what it means when Big Mama says, it's quiet up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or remember, Dale, he had a joke where he was like, he said some shit, I was on Keys of
Pine. Something like, get away from that baby.
He said, wait, who, why is he in the house with them kids?
Yeah, get away from them kids.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, yo, these niggas is fucking predators, man.
And we're going to have to, and you're right, we're going to have to address that. And also, too, I think that the fact is they don't want to have to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
You know, because when you read all of this shit, and you're like, wait a minute.
This is shit I do.
I've done this.
Yeah.
And then you read what people are saying. You're, it's like, kind of like, yo, man, to watch these people throw their careers on the line
for
Cosby,
yeah,
a man who wouldn't piss on them if they were on fire,
yep,
right,
a man who spent at least 15 years telling you wasn't shit.
Yep. Yeah.
I know he did. He basically had a 5-year run where he went on speaking tours,
yeah,
telling you
wasn't
shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you niggas are out here staunchly defending him, it's mind blowing. And listen, what I realize is that a lot of niggas are awful.
Let's just morph this into Kanye, because we got to wrap up in a minute. So.
And Kanye's is different because Kanye's transgression.
Exactly,
no, this is why I'm saying Kanye's is different. Because somebody was making this argument with me, like, if you want to give up everybody and the people who have, the artists who have stuff to atone for, you know, you got to talk about Marvin and James Brown. No, they did shit way worse than Kanye. And I was like, first of all, it's different. Y'all got to stop putting this shit on a sliding scale of awfulness, because anytime I hear that argument, it seems to be to take heat off of the person in question.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye's shit is not, yo, he was fucking up women or assaulting people, whatever. But the difference is one thing to address what an artist does in their personal life that conflicts what you think of them, what you know of their persona, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing when the transgression is actually against the fans, because the fucked up shit that you're doing in the name of your art.
Yep.
To me, if you want to actually talk about judging an artist, that's a heavier line on which to judge an artist. This has nothing to do about, like, we're judging R. Kelly and Cosby for who they are as people, and we have to make a decision on what we're gonna do with their art in that light. But Kanye is bringing it into the art.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kanye is doing this as an artist in the name of his music, in the name of his art, in the name of his fame, and it's a trans. And he is betraying his fans. Like, he's fucking with y'all.
Yep. And
you know what I mean?
There's a couple of things about this Kanye should just be blowing my mind. I'm hearing and reading niggas. First of all, I'm tired of niggas trying to say he's our Michael Jackson. No, he's not.
He's just troubled. That's the only similarity.
That's fucking retarded to say. That's stupid.
Right.
That's actually fucking stupid.
Right.
Like, that's just dumb. I'm not even going to get into why that's fucking dumb. If you don't understand why it's dumb, then fuck you too. Number one. Number two, this nigga put a Confederate flag on his tour merch in 2013.
To be provocative.
5 years ago.
To be provocative.
But was it provocative, or was it he kind of feel that way?
Well, that too.
As I'm saying, like, now, in 2000, top of 2017, he couldn't wait to go see Donald Trump.
Right, right.
And everybody keeps trying to make this excuse, and obviously not what he's doing now. And everybody keeps trying to make this excuse about, oh, he's on meds, he's not mentally fit.
It's got nothing to do with it anymore.
His own fucking wife said,
he's
don't call him mentally, he's not mentally unfit. Yo, he's not mentally unfit. He knows exactly
what
he's doing. This is how he feels. I'm sorry, y'all. He's not the nigga from College Dropout.
He's not.
No
that
more.
Nigga been gone for 8 years. And I saw a conversation, which makes a lot of sense, that the Kanye that we all miss is actually Ron Fest and Consequence.
Yeah,
which is a whole nother conversation, right?
I mean, yesterday was a traumatic experience with the way his mom died and how he lost his mom. And I'm not on any level trying to, like, downplay that or, like, make that, like, a, you know, lesser than horrible experience that it was. I get it. But
the nigga's far removed.
It's not just about his mom. It's this nigga feels this way. When he talks about it, you can tell these are the conversations he's having all the time. The difference is, as the woman said, the difference is, and T.I. said this on the Breakfast Club, and I said this without even knowing, when I saw him in that room with Tip, and they were talking, I paid attention to Tip, but what I really paid attention to was who else was in that room.
Right.
And it was a bunch of 20-something-year-olds in that
room. Exactly.
Who are not challenging him on any level.
Because they think he's a genius.
And Tip said that, he said, yo, one of the main problems with this guy, besides the fact that he don't read and none of that, is that he says this shit, and there's no one around him to be like, Phil, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
What the fuck is he talking about? Niggas just like, yo, word, yeah, that's deep. That's real. So now he's come out of onto social media again, spouting this shit. But I promise you, these conversations ain't just start. And
I said
something to somebody today. I'm going to leave her nameless because I like her, even though we totally disagreed on this. She's like, oh, he's mentally unfit and blah, blah, blah. He's off his meds.
I said,
what you think? If he starts taking these quote-unquote meds today, he's going to just say, oh, I didn't mean anything I said.
Right.
Fuck no. He's going to say, yeah, I meant everything I said.
He did. So Kanye was off his meds a year ago when he was doing his shit on the tour and all that other stuff, right?
Yeah, with
the
opioids and all
and
that.
The behavior is different because nothing that Kanye is doing right now is manic.
He's not manic.
None of it is manic. That shit was manic.
Yeah.
Nothing that he's doing now is manic. That nigga is fine. He's as fine as we're going to see him again.
Yeah.
Because he has put himself into a bubble. He has no sense of actual reality as a black person or as a normal person. Because all he's been around is a bunch of rich ass motherfuckers, like uber rich. Like, I don't know how anybody can live within the Kardashian family. And I'm not blaming them, but I'm just saying it's a very specific type of lifestyle. And none of his hip hop friends fuck with him anymore. They don't. Even people like, oh, but John only fucks with gay because of Chrissy and Kim. You know what I mean? And it's like, none of his friends. He doesn't have any friends. He has these 20-something-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that you say that because some dude hit me on Twitter. He was like, you're 40-plus. I know you weren't listening to Yeezus. I said, Kanye is 40 years old. Y'all are fucking stupid.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Why
do they act like this nigga's 23? He's not a child.
He's 40. 40. What is wrong with you? Kanye is 40. He's a grown-ass goddamn man. And the thing about it is, I don't even know if this is the way Kanye feels. I just think Kanye likes to hear himself talk. And these are the things that he's gotten traction from in his own little circles, right?
Because on
some free thinking shit. But wait, the Trump shit, Kanye is so butt-ass hurt still that the first black president from Chicago did not embrace his ass. He just wants to be, a lot of this with Kanye, he's so concerned with the outward gaze. He just wants to be accepted by certain places. So what he does is he hits us, the black people, with the, yo, you know, I'm just a genius, I gotta be creative, whatever, so that we give him a pass for all the pandering he's doing to the white people. Because all of this shit is about the white people.
Because whenever he names his heroes, it's white men. Like, you said this
like
before.
Like Steve
it's
and
Disney.
Steve Jobs.
It's Steve Jobs. It's Elon Musk.
Yeah.
It's, you know, some famous designer. It's never no black. Ain't no Quincy Jones.
Yeah.
Ain't
right.
no motherfucking Earl who used to cut my hair.
Yeah, it's all about power and prestige.
But from the white man perspective.
From the white man,
Because black men have power and prestige too, not as much as the white guy, but, you know, in the world.
Right.
But they still have plenty.
Right.
But he don't. That don't count to him.
He's trying. So this is all about the white gaze for Kanye. And now there's also this theory, like when Van from TMZ was reading this nigga the other day, you actually could see, somebody said it was like somebody hit him with the Get Out flash for a second. You could see in this nigga's face, he knows he's talking shit. He knows. Like, when Van was like, nigga, I'm disappointed in you. Like, you're rich. You can leave and go do whatever you're doing. The rest of us are really in this. Like, you could see on Kanye's face, like, yo, this nigga's right. Because he didn't expect a real black person to come at him, especially not at TMZ.
Well, he's never heard that.
He hasn't in a long time. He's never heard that. Yeah.
No, he's never heard that. Because Kanye is one of those guys who has often been indulged.
Yeah.
And every
like,
phase
just let Kanye
was
be
raised.
Kanye. Yeah.
From the way his mom raised him.
From every stage of his life, his every whim, his every desire, his every wish has been indulged.
Right.
He's been given the ability to do that. And so he thinks that he's not wrong in any capacity, in any way. He is telling us that these fashions are great. And that shit is garbage. And I'm almost positive Adidas is hemorrhaging money on that deal, right? Like, but aside from that, you know, Kanye is, you know, he's just not smart. He's really a dumb dude.
But he thinks he's very smart.
And yeah, because when you live in an isolated world, and you live in this space where, again, you are completely indulged, because I'm sure Kim does everything to make sure his day goes fine.
Right.
And everyone in that house is everything is about, don't upset Kanye.
Right.
I'm positive that's how they live in that house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And when I watch him and I watch that interaction with him and Van, like, the dude is just, like, he goes into this space where I think you want to fight me. Mm-hmm. You know why he says that? Because it's been so long since someone has talked to him that way.
Like, for real, for real.
Yes. He takes that anger.
Yeah.
And he couldn't even see that. He couldn't even process that was not about any sort of interaction of violence.
Right.
Yeah.
That was somebody who was probably a fan at one point.
Well,
and really is disappointed that you've taken this stance. And again, man, he doesn't even.
And he made it personal.
Yeah. And it's like,
I'm sorry,
dude,
I hurt you.
Dude is going, yeah. Like, that's therapy shit.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
shit you hear.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I hurt you. He's a manipulative dickhead.
Yeah.
And I, yo, man, there was one time, and I don't know if I told this story here, we were trying to, we were at a party in Miami. He was there. We were doing a video for someone. Mm. And they were trying to get all of the artists to just say something quick on the video. Mm. And they asked him to just do a quick video. Literally a quick video. Everybody else did it.
Right.
The nigga said, yo, I need to get deodorant before I do the video.
Right.
Nigga, like, we're in Miami.
Yeah.
It's like fucking...
Nobody can smell
it's like 1 a.m., my nigga. Yeah. Like, you... Yo, and what's crazy is this was an intern, like, at the time, mm-hmm. who was gathering the video. Mm-hmm. So, of course, as an intern, it's Kanye.
Yeah, he's gonna flex up, yeah.
He's,
yeah.
He's fucking running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
Trying to find fucking deodorant.
Right. Which was just, he didn't want to do it.
Right, yeah. Right.
Right, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, the dude is this, he's not this incredible savant. He's not. He locks into...
But the kids think he is.
Because he locks into... The same way he did with music and the same way he did with fashion, right. is the same thing he's doing right now with right. politics. He does not seem to have a broad understanding of multiple things.
Right.
He locks into a thing.
Right.
And hyper focuses on it. And then when he is accepted, right, it's boring to him.
Right. Well, the other thing is, we're at this stage now, and Kanye is way too old for this, but these kids who revere Kanye, well, there's two things. First of all, there's a difference between the stan culture and just being a genuine fan.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a stan, like, God forbid you admit that the person you're a fan of actually can be wrong. But there's like, 20-year-olds uniquely, and I know not all, they seem to, for the most part, uniquely lack the ability to have critical thought. Right? So you give them something. If they like it, they run with it. If they don't like it, they reject it. And that's what Kanye's doing. Kanye's spouting a lot of stuff without actually taking time to look through it, turn it over, compare and contrast it, research it. Like, there's no critical thought here. You're just spewing just word vomit, mm-hmm. really. But these other kids who they're grabbing something. And the other thing is that this lack of critical thought has somehow turned into, if I'm saying something different than what everybody else says, I must be right.
Yeah.
It must be revolutionary.
Kanye should have he has a difference of opinion. It's not the fact that he has a difference of opinion. It's what he says. His opinion is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Wrong. It's fucking dumb and it's uninformed and uneducated. That's right. Not about the difference of opinion. There's black Republicans I'm sure I can sit down with today and we'll have differences of opinion, but like what might have a decent conversation about why you feel how you feel.
And also, every opinion ain't valid. I don't know who told these motherfuckers every opinion is valid. Have the right to your opinion, and I have the right to tell you that your opinion
This is the perfect combination of having a kid who had been indulged his entire life,
right
and being self-absorbed, mm-hmm. having the generation of fans
that
is the most self-absorbed,
yes,
the most entitled,
yes,
and the most group that they are, like, it's weird because if you've ever seen a 20-something-year-old get thrown, like, a left or something like that, like, if they're thrown off
they
are fucked up.
Yeah,
it's like system short.
It is, like, wild to watch. Mm-hmm. They have the ability have no coping to skills. Adjust, the yep. ability to sort of figure something out.
None.
It's like if you're giving them the test, then you better let them have an open book test.
Right.
If not, they're going to fucking melt down.
Yeah. Right.
And these are his fans. These are the people that are... And what is scary is that these are also kids who have the ability to vote,
yep. mm-hmm.
who have the ability to change the tide, and he is absolutely giving them wrong, false information.
Right.
It is mind-blowing, man.
Like, I said something about how Kanye had been gone for 8 years, and I was like, and also the art ain't been good for 8 years, and this kid was like, you can't say what's good art and what's not. I said, of course I can. Why can't I?
Yeah.
I absolutely can't. I was like, shit, it's not, people been criticizing art since art was art. The fuck you talking about?
And I believe the nigga's also just telling lies because he said more than one time that his Yeezy company is going to have 160 employees and is going to gross $1 billion.
He just be talking.
I said, nigga, you're selling sneakers.
He's just
and
talking.
That's really it because the clothes ain't selling.
And selling it through Adidas.
And selling through Adidas. And all the Yeezy shoes are done in limited supplies.
Right.
It ain't like Jordan's Air Force Ones where they're in fucking Jimmy Jacks. Yeah. So $1 billion doing what, my nigga? Like 160 employees. Like, that's...
He must be talking with LeVar Ball.
He fucking doing vision.
Exactly.
He's doing his vision board. Okay, so now there's this theory that this whole shit is some Andy Kaufman-esque shit.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe it. I will say this. It can seem likely for Kanye, the way they broke it down, and I could see Kanye thinking it's some fly shit to do that and thinking that he's really about to change some shit and change the conversation by doing this. But even if it is that, which it probably is not, but even if it is, because I don't think Kanye is that self-aware, even if it is that, it's still wildly dangerous, wildly irresponsible, and really short-sighted in the name of art. Because Kanye has, the man just has no idea what it is being black in this shit right now. I really do not think he understands how high the stakes are and how much he's fucking with shit. I really don't think
he does it because, again, he lives a world of isolation. Yeah. He does not have to do or have to deal with every regular people shit.
No.
And again, my Green's comment was always an analogy about being tethered.
Yeah. He's untethered. Folks.
He's untethered. The nigga has no connection. That nigga ain't going to the barber shop. That nigga, you know what I'm saying? That nigga ain't doing, he ain't doing no regular nigga shit.
Yeah. And him and Trump actually speak the same language.
No, they do. They're the same
person. They're the same person. They're the same fucking person.
One last thing about it that I ain't going to talk about this nigga again on this show ever again.
Yeah.
Is also to think that my theory is also that he talked about in the Charlemagne shit, he talked about fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a part of it that leads to bigger things. He was on top of the pile for that run he had.
Mm-hmm.
Then it kind of fell apart. So then you have Drake, and you have Kendrick, and you have Cole, and then here come Future with his thing, and whatever. And he can't get back on top of the pile.
Because he's 40.
Musically. Right. Just musically.
I know, because he's the old nigga. You gotta let the young kids go.
But he's not owning that. He's like, I'm supposed to be on top of the pile, and I can't get up there.
Right.
On the other side, his man, Virgil, was really doing a lot of that creative side stuff, like all the Donda stuff and the covers. That was Virgil.
Right.
Virgil helped design those Louis sneakers and all that. I'm not saying Kanye wasn't involved. He was, but Virgil had a lot to do with that.
Right.
And now Virgil's living the fashion like
that Kanye wanted.
Yeah. So now he's like, what can I do to make some noise and turn attention back onto me?
Yep.
So I'm gonna do this shit because musically I know I can't beat these niggas.
And he started out with some philosophy shit, and for like the first 3 days he came back, and I think when he saw that wasn't doing enough,
then I'm a wild out.
Like, let me just go, let me put up the MAGA hat.
Child.
Yeah, he is a child.
So, that's it. That might be our longest show ever.
Yeah, I think it might be.
But it was a good one, though. Yeah. We talked about a lot of good topics. We wrapping it up. Happy Cinco de Mayo, y'all.
Later.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.